Bibles with you tonight, going to be in Matthew chapter 2, another one of the familiar stories that is around or revolves around the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word tonight, and I just thank you for those here. We're praying, Lord, that you meet with us, speak to our hearts tonight through your word, and we'll trust you for what's going to take place in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message tonight is, What Did You Expect? What did you expect? You know, and I thought about a subtitle, Faith's Expectations. Faith's Expectations. You know, in life, everybody has expectations about everything, just about everything. You know, what we think will happen a certain way, what should happen. You know, we expect to wake up in the morning. We expect a car to start, don't we, Donna? We expect that to happen, although it doesn't always happen. We just think it will. We expect our plans. We at least hope that they would be fulfilled. And then when it comes to God, people have expectations too. So much so that a lot of times that men, or you know, I mean mankind, has they have a God in their mind that they may have molded in their mind as to what to some degree a God of their expectations. What they think God is like, or what they think God will do. Sometimes some of those things are correct. Sometimes some of those things are incorrect. Sometimes it's a blend of the truth and myth. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. So we know that there's a thing called saving faith. And now I got to thinking about this, and this is where my thought's going with the message tonight is that people, everybody has faith, but everybody doesn't have saving faith. And when I looked at this Bible story here, and I got four groups of people, and one group of people's not in this story, but preached on this morning, I see people that had some faith, but not everybody had saving faith. And I just wondered why, because of the events that went on. Sherry and I had a big discussion the other morning when we did our devotions about this. So I just want to look at four groups of people that were involved in the birth of Christ, just to see how faith worked or how it didn't work, or it wasn't faith in the right place, particularly the right person. The very first person that we see Herod here. This is Herod the Great. Herod was almost like a title instead of a name. He wasn't a Jew. We see Herod, he's worried about his kingdom. He wasn't a Jew. He was an Idumean, and that means he was a descendant of Esau, and that also means that he wasn't in the line of kings. No wonder he was worried about losing his crown when he heard that there was a king that would be born. It was something that was on his mind. And so when he found out about that, he wanted to kill Jesus. And later on, you know, he was willing later, didn't read it tonight, but he was willing later when the wise men didn't return, he was willing to go send his soldiers to that area of the land and kill all the male babies that was 2 years old and under, to kill all those babies just to make sure that he would see that he would, try to kill this child that was born a king. And then his son, later on, he had a son whose name, he was a Herod, Herod Antipas. He wasn't Herod the Great. He was a little bit later on. He was the one that beheaded John the Baptist. This is when Jesus was grown. He was the one that judged Jesus at his trial. He was sent over to Herod, and then he sent him back. And so this was, what a family that we had here with this group of guys right here. But I was thinking about their faith and looking at the faith that these guys. Well, you say, well, did these men have faith? Yeah, they had some faith. They didn't have saving faith. They didn't have faith in the right place, but they had faith in something. Number one, Herod the Great, when we look at him, when the wise men came and they said, hey, we came to worship the king. We've seen a star in the east. They knew something about some scriptures along the way. I might be a little bit ahead there, but they knew something about it. I'll say it now. But they probably knew some had some old Babylonian scriptures or something from the Babylonian captivity that was ancient, but they knew about it. And of course, the Jews they had expectations there of what the Messiah was coming for as well. So Herod heard about the wise men. He had to believe what they said. I mean, he put some faith in what they said was true. They said that there was a king. He was born in the east. We see his star. We kind of worship. He didn't say, you guys are crazy. We don't believe that. No, he believed that there was a king that was born. So he believed that amount right there. That's faith. He had to have faith. He hadn't seen anything. He just had faith. It wasn't sight. It was faith. It was a faith, but it wasn't a saving faith. The Jews expect the Messiah to come. They had expectations about that, but they were wrong. They thought it was a political deliverer that would come. I've shared with you about a fellow at the Bryan Center that I've been witnessing to. He's a Jew. Sherry and I have talked to him and all that, and I asked him questions about what did he expect? What are the Jews that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah? What do they expect or what do they think if the Messiah is going to come? What's he going to do? Well, nobody knows. He don't know, and so he's not sure about it, because he's missed it. And I pointed out, I said, the reason he don't know is because he's already come, but their expectations are they have them, but they're not correct. And so Herod believed the wise men. He believed the prophecy concerning a Messiah without sight. Only hearing. Boy, sometimes you wish the Christians could get this straight, just working on hearing. So, why didn't he accept Jesus? Why didn't he get saved? I believe this because he knew, as far as the kingship goes, he knew that only one king was going to be on the throne at a time, and he wasn't willing to get off the throne. That's what he knew. He knew that if another king came, especially if he was in the proper line, and Jesus was, that then he was going to have to get on the throne. And that's the same reason today. You can go out here and talk to people till you're blue in the face about Jesus Christ. I know people that are lost as they can be. They will not accept Christ, but they know how to be saved. They believe that there is a Jesus. They believe what the Word of God says. They even believe that there's a judgment day. They believe all the things of the Bible. They could tell somebody how to be saved if they wanted to, but they won't get saved. Why? Because they know that only one king can be on the throne at a time, and they're not willing to get off the throne in their life and let Jesus get on the throne of their life. The exact same problem there. So they struggle in that area right there. That's really a faith problem. I mean, if you will not trust Jesus Christ with your life, it's a faith problem. And that's what a lot of people have in trusting God. And I see Christians all the time, they fight and they don't want to give it all over to Him because they think that it's a blend. They got a blend. If it's nothing really important, we just got to trust the Lord. We'll trust the Lord. But if it's a real big crisis and they can't see how the end's going to come out, they got to take matters into their own hands and they've got to do it themselves. Amen. I mean, they've got to do that. And so we see it. That battle for the throne is going on in everybody's life all the time. Herod represents also the pretenders. He said, hey, y'all find the child, come on back and let me know, and I'm going to come and I'm going to worship him also. We know the rest of the story, though. We know he didn't really want to go worship the king. He just wanted to go down there and worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. But he represents people that pretend. He said he wanted to go worship Jesus, but saying and doing are two different things. And so Herod was like a lot of those people that they don't mind. Herod didn't mind. Herod was ruler in Judea there. He was a ruler. He had Jewish people all around him that were worshipers of God. He didn't mind having religious things all around him. It was going on all the time. He didn't mind those things. And there's a lot of people in the world that don't mind as well. But, you know, and even they pretend to be trusting God or believe in God, probably even believe in the Word of God, but they really spend more time trying to bypass the Word of God or trying to say, yeah, but if, what, and try to twist what the Word of God says to fit their philosophy in their life, or spend more time to compromise on the Word of God than actually following the Word of God. They're pretenders, just like Herod was, saying that they want to worship God, but not, it wasn't a reality in their life. And so Herod knew that he would have to yield his life to Christ. You know what about Herod right there? He never got any closer to Jesus Christ geographically or spiritually than he did right then at that time in his life. Because after that, you know, Joseph and Mary, they fled off into Egypt too. After, so the distance became greater. He never got closer to Christ. Nobody else ever came to Herod and preached the gospel to him. Nobody ever came and told him, hey, there was a king born and there was a star. That's it. That was the one time. And I'm going to tell you what, there's people in the world I know for a fact that have never, they've rejected the gospel, they've rejected the truth, and they never spiritually or geographically, physically know how, no, they were never any closer to being saved than they were at one particular time in their life. And they never get any closer than that again, because it just is not going to take place. You know, it's... It was the last time Herod, so we look at Herod, we look at his son, Herod Antipas. He was, he's the one that heard John the Baptist. He heard John the Baptist. Now, this is all the way up after Jesus had grown up. He had revealed himself to the world. John the Baptist was a grown man. Mark 6:20 says, Herod feared John. He feared John. That word there means respect, and probably had some fear too. It says, knowing that he, John, was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Heard him gladly. I mean, here was this Herod here that heard John the Baptist, said he heard him gladly. He liked him. He had to put him into prison. He made a stupid promise. You know what had happened? I mean, you're talking about the immorality of the issue right there. He had married, his brother's wife had left her husband and came and was married to him. And John the Baptist had called him out on the point right there. And I want you to notice something in the Bible. It called it out to be unlawfully. He said, you know, it was unlawful. That's what he said. Why? Because there wasn't any polygamy going on in those days. There wasn't more. There's not a single case of it in the New Testament. And John the Baptist even said, this marriage is unlawful. Even unlawful to the Roman, into the Roman culture. It was an unlawful marriage. He called him that. Well, Herod, it didn't tear him up too bad, but that woman, it tore her up. Herodias was tore up about it, and she's the one. She wanted him locked up in prison, and so she had her daughter dancing out there all in a lewd fashion in front of Herod one night at a party, and Herod, he's all drunk on wine, and he made a comment. He said, well, listen, I'll give you anything that you want up to half the kingdom, and her mother had already instructed her. She said, give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. Right there. So he made that bold statement out in front of everybody. And guess what? It was a stupid promise. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head right there. Why? You know, and so it was the mother's doing. She hated John. But I don't think Herod hated John the Baptist. I think he liked him. I think he was sorry that he had to do it. But he had to follow through. Why? Because he's worried about what man thought instead of what God thought. You know, he caved into that. He represents those that cave into the pressure of the world. And there's a lot of people in churches that do that. They cave into what man is thinking, the way that they're pushing. And we fight against it now. It's why I have to preach all the stuff that I have to preach that I just soon not preach. Because if I don't say anything about it, the people in the churches are going to cave in. They're going to get molded into what the world's mold is. And they're going to start calling evil good instead of taking a stand and standing up against it. So, like I said, he wanted to please man, and this is what he represents right there. Listen, I'm not saying he was saved because of this, but any more than I'm saying that those who cave into the world are saved. He had some faith. He believed what John the Baptist said was true. That's faith in it. He hadn't seen any evidence that it was, but he believed what he said. But you know what? He just caved into what the world wanted to do. When you look at in that part, in that time slot in history right there, look at Pilate. I mean, there was Pilate. Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. As a matter of fact, he called him just. He turned around after that. He said, I don't find any fault in him. He was willing to release him. He was amazed. The Bible said he was amazed. He marveled, I think is what the word used, that when he talked to Jesus. But guess what? You know what? He said, I'm going to wash my hands of it. But he couldn't wash his hands of it. What was he worried about? He was worried about man's opinion instead of God's opinion. And he caved in. He had some faith. He was believing what he was seeing. He didn't know everything we know, but he believed some things about Jesus right there. And so Pilate caved in. And his wife, the same thing. The wife said, listen, have nothing to do with this just man or this righteous man. Don't have nothing to do with him. She knew something was up as well. And so she called him, but she caved in. Later on in Paul's day, remember Agrippa. Agrippa told Paul. Paul went and preached the gospel to him. Felix said, you're mad. But Agrippa said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Why? Because he believed what he said. He believed it was true. But then again, he had to weigh out that throne and getting off the throne and putting Jesus on the throne and weigh out what the popular opinion would think versus what God thinks. He had to weigh all those things. He said, almost. We even got a song we sing. Almost persuaded. Almost, man, that close. Think about it. Think how close he was to being saved. He had some faith, but it wasn't saving faith. It wasn't saving faith. There was faith existed in every single one of these people's lives. And so this faith was calling people. But they didn't receive that. They didn't want really a transformed life. They didn't receive that. They exercised faith in about everything they did every day. They even had a little bit of faith in what was being said, but not saving faith. It's a different thing. So you could say all day long, you could say, listen, and I know, I said a minute ago, there's people like that. They believe what the Bible says. They believe there's a Jesus. They believe he was born of a virgin. They believe he died on the cross. They believe he resurrected. They believe he's coming again. They believe you got to be saved. That's faith. But they won't put faith in God. They won't go that next step. They just won't do it. It's not saving faith. And a lot of people out there, like Herod, both of them, they want to kill off anybody that threatens their rule on their throne. Then we see those soldiers I spoke about this morning, thinking about them. Not the soldiers, the ones after this, when the wise men didn't return. And the Bible says that Herod, he sent us soldiers after him to kill all those babies. And the wise men were warned by God in a dream. It said not to return. And so when they didn't return after a time, Herod got mad. He got worried. He got panicky. He sent soldiers to this one area and he was going to kill off all these babies. I mean, think about this for a minute. God's hand here. That the wise men, God's hand brought those wise men to Jesus. 1,000 miles with a star guiding them. Some old ancient prophecies that they either heard or had some copies of, maybe from Babylonian area where they come from. I mean, they were operating on next to nothing. Talking about operating by faith and not by sight, they didn't have nothing that we had. I mean, and they had to travel 1,000 miles in those days. I mean, 1,000 miles is no picnic today. But they traveled 1,000 miles. We're talking, I don't know, months probably it took to get where they wanted to go. They had that kind of faith right there. God's hand guiding them all along the way. And then God spoke to them in a dream. Don't go back to Herod. Man, I mean, look at God's hand in this deal right here. You know, you start putting your faith in God. You don't think God can protect you? Huh? You don't think God can protect you? They could have been killed by Herod for not returning and telling about this child. And God said, hey, just go another way. God, and I believe all along that way back, I don't believe they had a minute's trouble. I believe they went on back. Herod couldn't have found him in a million years. He'd have never found him because God had. Look at God's hand. And look at God's hand in bringing you to saving faith if you're saved. And look at God's hand in protecting you, after you trusted Christ. And then listen, I'm going to tell you what. Nobody went back and told Herod about Jesus like I said a minute ago. You know what? God's hand's in that too. God didn't allow anybody to go back, or God didn't send anybody back. After he killed those babies. And so Herod sent those soldiers and killed all the males 2 years and under. Think about those soldiers that went down there and killed those children. I know they were under orders, and it was probably their life or the baby's life, and they probably would have rather, a lot of them would have rather done something else. They'd rather just not have to go and leave home, and then on top of that have to go kill a bunch of babies, hunt them up and kill them. But there might have been some that started thinking, you know what? Maybe there's something in it for me. Maybe if I'm the one that finds the right child, I'll get a reward. I'm just speculating. Maybe I'll get a reward, or maybe I'll get some recognition, or maybe I'll get a promotion if I'm the one that finds it. Some of them probably did their job very enthusiastically. They did what Herod said. You know, and a lot of times you see people today coming to Jesus like it's a chore or it's a burden. I'm talking about Christian people, or supposed to be Christian people. People that are coming because it's like a duty. See, that's, if you're in the military, that's what they call it. You got duty. If you got the duty, that means you're on guard tonight or you're on watch tonight. If you got the duty tomorrow, you're on watch tomorrow. And the duty was no fun. You know, that's why they call it duty. Play on words. It's your duty. You have to do it because that's what somebody ordered you to do, and you're in the military. You got to do what they tell you to do. You'll get it on the way home. You know, that's what they tell you to do. And you don't do it because you love it. You don't do it because you want to do it. You do it because you have to do it. And there's a lot of people that come to Christ, come to worship Christ, or try to worship Christ the same way. They don't do it because they love it. They don't do it because they love Him. They don't do it because it's just they feel like it's a duty. You know, well, you know, I'm at church and I'm on the board, or I'm a teacher, or I'm in the choir. I got to do. And some of them don't even have enough gumption to do it for that reason, right? But that's the same thing. Or they might have thought, sometimes people think, well, you know what, maybe I'll come. Maybe I'll get some entertainment out of it. Maybe I'll get it. Maybe they're going to have a meal. Maybe I'll look good on my resume if I say I'm a member of Valley View Baptist Church, or whatever church you want to put on your resume. You know what happened? The soldiers were listening to another voice instead of the voice of God. They were listening. You know, you got to believe. Don't you think that God would have been speaking to those soldiers' consciences as they were going to go down and kill all the male childs? They were Jewish children. I mean, they were His children, that God would have been speaking, trying to convict them to stop. They were listening to another voice. They were listening to the voice of Herod and not to the voice of God. They probably believed there was a child Jesus. That's not saving faith. I mean, they certainly weren't out there looking for nothing. They believed that there was a child named Jesus. They believed that this child was born, but nothing changed. It didn't change their life. It didn't change their minds, or it didn't change their life. They just went along with the crowd, and a lot of people in church do both ways. Sometimes they go along with the crowd that don't show up, and sometimes they go along with the crowd that does, but going along with the crowd's not saving faith. I mean, a dead fish can swim downstream. Huh? I mean, you know what? It doesn't take it. That's just going with the flow. Going down, you know, looks like there's life, looks like there's movement, but it's dead. A lot of people do the same thing. Think about this. And then I thought about this. You think about the different instances of faith. Think about these guys were operating, and everybody that I spoke about so far hasn't seen a thing. But they had some kind of faith. It just wasn't saving faith. Think about the children came out of Egypt in the wilderness. Well, right off the bat, I mean, Moses was going head-to-head with Pharaoh and the plagues and this and that and the Passover and all the children dying. And, I mean, then they had to run down there to the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptian army, and God parts the Red Sea. And, man, I mean, if you hadn't seen nothing else, I mean, this was something to see. And they went on through the Red Sea. But then they got out there in the wilderness a little bit later, and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. I was speaking about that this morning, and there's thunder and lightning and all that, and they were afraid. So they knew there was a God, right? But then they get talked into somehow everybody throwing in their golden earrings and rings and all that, and they made this golden calf, or as Aaron said, it just came out, this golden calf, and they started dancing around and worshiping the golden calf. They had seen the power of God. Now, these other guys that are lost as Hogan's Goat, they haven't seen anything, but they had some kind of faith that they believed. It wasn't saving faith to them. They had just a faith that they believed, you know, that they knew something. Now, the Israelites, they too, they knew. Not only had they only heard it, they saw it. I mean, they physically saw it. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How in the world, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, Red Sea parting, manna on the ground, quails flying through, water from the rock, fire coming. How in the world could they get away from God? You ever thought about that? I have. I'm thinking, man, alive, if I saw that, man, I'd be ready just to let's go, man. I mean, there was some of them that did. Caleb and Joshua, they were the ones that said, hey, we can take them, giants and all. We'll go in the land. God's going to give it to us. Two guys, 2 out of 10. That's a good percentage right there, right? 2 out of 12, I'm sorry. 2 out of 12. That's 2 out of 12 had saving faith. What's that say? That's pretty scary, isn't it? 2 out of 12. Look around the room. How many here we got in here? We don't have that many, right? That means there's probably like 4 people, 3 people saved. Huh? I mean, that's what it was right there that had faith. They heard about God and they saw God's mighty works, yet they still wavered on their faith. I don't understand it. Think about Judas. Judas Iscariot. I mean, man, it wasn't like he was looking at Jesus from afar. Like Jesus was way off and he was kind of thinking, well, you know. No, man, I mean, he was there every day where they went, the Garden of Gethsemane. They went there and prayed. Jesus went and prayed. The disciples went with them. They went around, man, all the miracles that Jesus did, healing this and healing that, lepers and blind people and raising the dead and all those things. He saw it all, heard Jesus. He knew Jesus' heart. Sat in there and listened to him. He knew Jesus wasn't a fake. Man, he sat in there with him and prayed with him and heard him pray, and Jesus told him he loved him, all those things. Saw it. Heard it, knew it, yet he went and sold Jesus out. Went to the world, went the world's way instead of the way to God. And it shows you, Israelites and Jews, how close to God and how close to God you can be and still be lost. Man, I mean, you can be close. You can be in the church. You can be serving in the church. You can be pastoring the church. You can be preaching the Word of God. You can be doing all sorts of works. Just doing things. You can do it and be lost. These people were lost. Rahab, then on the other hand, I thought, man, think about Rahab. She hadn't seen nothing that the Israelites saw. She was over there in this town. All she did was she just heard it. She said when the spies came, said, we heard about these mighty works. We heard what's going on. Everybody fears, man. We're scared. Listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, man. I'll hide y'all, but if y'all will just spare me when you come in, because I know you're going to win. Now, buddy, that's some faith right here. The army didn't even know that. She knew what they did. They were all worried about it, you know, half the time. They went somewhere. Here's Rahab. She goes, I know you're going to win. They said, well, just put a scarlet thread. We're going to save you and everything. Saving faith. She hadn't seen anything. She just heard about it. Just all the way back like Herod. She just heard about it. Man, I was like weighing all this out and everything. I said, you know, I see where the Calvinists got a strong point right here. You know, I'm not a Calvinist, but I mean, I'm thinking a Calvinist, you know, because they believe in the elect, and there's a certain elect, and there's ones that are not elect. I mean, you know, I can see where, you know, because you can't figure this out. Why does one have faith without any seeing anything, and even the people that had sight of things couldn't exercise that kind of faith? I believe that's one of the reasons why. You know, we're not living really in the day of sight as obvious as some of those things. The miracle, because it don't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't always give people faith. It doesn't. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. And then those shepherds, and they weren't in the story here, and I talked about them this morning and preached about them. You know, I told you they weren't trusted. They were dirty. They were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even go worship. They were outcasts of society, weren't allowed in the temple. Sometimes it said they weren't even allowed to come into the towns. Just, you had to stay outside. You know, tell us what you want. We'll throw it over the wall. I mean, they wouldn't let them in. Couldn't worship God. But the angels come and spoke to them. They believed. Let's go see this thing. Let's go see this child. What about those sheep? Sheep, Jesus. Sheep or Jesus? Forget the sheep. What's more important? But there's a lot of people that won't. They won't leave the, not literal sheep, but some other thing that they think is important. They won't leave that behind. And so they made this decision. And you know, they went, and what did they see? I told you this morning, they saw a baby Jesus in a manger. A baby Jesus doesn't really offend too many people. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that, because we think today we can't put a manger scene up, can we? But you know why? Because the world knows the rest of the story. They know that he didn't stay a baby. They know that he's coming, that he's grown, and that he's coming back, and he's going to be the judge of the world. He didn't stay a baby all his life, you know. He grew, and he came, and he was crucified, and he resurrected, and he's coming again as a judge. Don't keep Jesus in the baby all year long, in a manger or in a cradle all year long. Don't keep him in that manger all year long. You know, he's not on the manger, and he's not on the cross. Don't keep him on the cross either. He's off of that, and he's not in the grave either. He's resurrected from that. Huh? That's where he's at. But those shepherds right there, what little bit they knew, Now, they saw a few things. They heard a few things. Imagine the sight of an angel was an awesome sight. They heard what the angel had to say. They still had to believe what the angel said. I mean, they might have said, hey, maybe we had some bad stew a little earlier and we're both hallucinating at the same time. No, they knew. So they had sight and hearing, but they still operated on what little bit they knew. And so they went and they saw, they came to Jesus. And then we think about the wise men. We see the wise men here and spoke a little bit about them this morning, I think. They paid the highest price of all to see Jesus. I talked about that. They didn't know. I'm sure they didn't. It was vague. They it was something they really had to dig for. Think about it, man. They had to look at these old scriptures and they had to piece some things together and they had to get times straightened out. They had to figure all this out. It wasn't something that you would casually read and get this straight. They traveled to farther, around 1,000 miles. I read one time somewhere around in there. Like I say, traveling in that time, they brought the most expensive gifts. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a preacher. And like I said, they had to dig to find something out. But they believed what they read or what they heard, however, but they hadn't seen anything. They believed it. Now, see, faith's got to be in action. So they could have sat back in Babylon or wherever they were at. They could have sat there and said, you know, yeah, we heard about it. We believe it. But they did not act on it. But they said to see real faith is a work, is action. It's in action. It's like real love. You can say you love all you want to, but until you show it, it's not real. Same thing with faith. You can say you have faith all you want to, but you have to exercise that faith, really put your faith in God. And they did that. I mean, this was an endeavor to travel. Three wise men. Sometimes we sing we three kings. There's nothing that says they were kings, but there's nothing that says they weren't. They weren't kings. They had to have some wealth in order to go on a trip that long and not have anything else to do but try to find Jesus. So, and then the gifts that they brought would indicate that they were wealthy as well. I don't know what they were, but you know what? They had to really put forth. This was a great effort to find this child. And what were they going to do? I mean, they weren't going to get a thing. They didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't. All they were doing was bringing something to the king, and they knew the king was a baby. They could have said, hey, let's wait till he grows up where he can do something for us. But they didn't do that. They went to see a baby in this manger. And the Bible says they came and they fell down and worshiped him. What did they know? That we know more than they know. A million times more than they knew. We know we've got it all. We've got the complete Word of God. I mean, Jesus has already grown up, crucified, resurrected. The church is established. We got the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit of God. And try to get God's people to come and fall down and worship. What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong here? Who had faith? Those guys right there, with little to nothing to operate off of. I don't know what they expected. I don't know what they expected to find. I don't. Obviously, they didn't expect more than what they saw. They probably saw more than what they did expect. And then, like I said, and God protected them in verse 12. He said, in a dream, he said that. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Man, God guided them. I don't know if they had a star on the way back, but somehow they found their way back. There was some direction. I think that's the hand of God on these men right here. That's really what a relationship with God is. It's a two-way relationship. They were listening to God. Supposing they hadn't listened to God right there. Well, aren't we world famous for selectively doing what God would like us to do? We're the greatest at that. Suppose they said, something we ate along with the shepherds. And we'll go back to Herod. Huh? They would have been there, huh? They'd have lost their life. They'd have lost their life because of that. So they listened to God. That's a relationship. You know, what did you expect? What do you expect from God, really? You know, faith. Do you really have saving faith? It's not just having faith, it's having saving faith. And then another thing, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to worship Him? And then another one, this would be a good outline for this Christmas time. Have you given Him your best? Those wise men did. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to worship Him? And have you given Him your best. Let's all stand. Paul, come.